There are a lot of stories woven into Rin Tin Tin, the life and the legend, but the core is really about so-called Rinty, as he was known, and his owner, Lee Duncan, who met in unusual circumstances.
Lee did not get Rin Tin Tin at a pet shop. He was on a battlefield in World War I, a time where if you're 18, 19, 20 years old, surrounded by death and tremendous fear and sadness, and in the middle of this, you discover a puppy. I think that it's hard for me to imagine how profoundly touching that would be, and how much that connection would be amplified by how it came about. And they were really inseparable from that moment on. So at the point where Rin Tin Tin then made Lee a rich man and gave him a profession. I mean, that's a connection that most people never have with anyone in their life.
But it's interesting, as obsessed as Duncan is with Rin Tin Tin, in some ways you could really say that he bungled the dog's legacy.
First of all, I don't think he could think about the dog dying, but also I think he simply didn't include in that connection to the dog the idea that sort of more practical aspect of I've created something that I should take care to preserve as a legacy and imagine 50 years from now this will continue. And it's part of what made him as a character so affecting and in a way so endearing is that he wasn't strategic. He wasn't somebody who thought, geez, I've really kind of landed on something here. I'm going to trademark it. I mean, he never did any of that. It really had a kind of innocence that would be hard for us to imagine today, of course.
And there are a couple of custodians that emerge in the book of Rin Tin Tin's legacy. One really interesting character is Burt Leonard. He was a producer behind a TV series in the 50s centered around Rin Tin Tin. At the end of the book, you describe kind of the great efforts that he goes to get the story of Lee Duncan and Rin Tin Tin on the big screen. And of course, that's a effort that was unsuccessful.
That's interesting because it was not about aggrandizing his own story. It was about making a permanent record of this almost mythic tale of the boy wandering through a battlefield, finding a puppy, and making him an international star. And, you know, Bert was in his own way as impractical as Lee, it just in a different way. I mean, his fierce devotion to this idea was so complete that he didn't make a bunch of decisions that would have made his own life an awful lot easier. I mean, he was certainly a businessman. He definitely was more practical in that regard than Lee, but he was also kind of blinded by a devotion. And as I say blinded, I cringe a little because where would we be in the world if there weren't people who became very devoted to something, even at the great expense? And when I say expense, I mean their own life having an easier arc.
And you are such a master of developing nonfiction characters. Can you give us any kind of insight into how you research and then commit these great personalities to paper?
Absolutely. You know, when I started the book, my big worry and the realization that probably should have dawned on me immediately but didn't was that almost every main character in the book was dead. And I'm so used to getting to know people by spending time with them. This is always my mantra when I'm teaching. I insist that my students make every effort to spend as much time as possible with their subjects. And suddenly I thought, what am I going to do? I can't spend time with them. Well, this was my introduction to the world of archives and becoming intimate with someone through the trail they leave behind. In the case of both Lee and Bert, they were pack rats enough that there was a great deal that they left behind. Some of it, you know, very obviously important. Some of it, the kind of ephemera that actually tells you so much about someone. And it was incredible education for me that reading all of this material, the odds and ends, the telegrams that Lee sent to his mother while he was on the vaudeville circuit with Rinty, the correspondence he had with Kennel Ration about the dog food he was getting from them, all of that begins to be as if I were eavesdropping on a life in a way that was almost more intimate than it would have been had Lee been alive. Then you, of course, have to fill in and make three-dimensional on the page the characters who you've learned about. But I did feel that I knew him, and I felt like I knew Bert enough that I could have told you about them and said, you know, Lee Duncan, I met this interesting guy, Lee Duncan. Well, I did meet him, just not in the here and now, but I met him through those archives, through the trail of crumbs of his life. And then it became a story that I could tell the reader about these people. And they became very, very real to me.
So is it the completeness of your research that makes you such a great sketcher of characters, or are you somehow thinking about it differently?
I think what's important is for me to feel that I've gotten to a point where I actually believe that I know the person, that I understand the decisions they made, the way their life kind of shaped itself. And just the way you would tell me about a friend, I feel that I can tell you about these characters. They've become something I know well enough that I can tell you as if it were a conversation that I'd be having. I think that's a matter of curating the details that are going to really color in the shape of a person's life, and also to begin imagining that you see a pattern in who they are. And I think that's probably the key to it, that each of these people, as a writer, I felt that I had to almost create in my mind the tags that were going to inform everything I would tell you about them. You know, for Lee, he was sort of the endless orphan. That was the whole story of his life. And, you know, that helped me imagine how I could tell the story to someone else, to imagine this person who always lived in a world in which he felt like an orphan.
My last question is, if a movie's in the works, if we're ever going to see the story of Lee Duncan and Rin Tin Tin on the big screen.
It would be, of course, the most perfect coda to the book to end up having that movie be made. It would almost be a kind of literary completion after that was such a theme in the book. It would be perfect. So I've been talking to a lot of people who are very interested, and I've got my fingers crossed.
That was New Yorker writer Susan Orlean talking about her new book, Rin Tin Tin, The Life and the Legend. She'll give a talk at the Fort Collins Hilton tomorrow at 7 o'clock. For KUNC, I'm Grace Hood.